I'm Becky, and welcome to another episode of the Salty Mums podcast, where we explore motherhood from a Christian perspective through women's stories and wisdom to help us remain the salt of the earth in today's culture.
Hello, you. It has been a long time since I've been on here, and I do apologise, but if you follow me on social media, you'll see that January, I decided to get involved in some local politics. And if you keep your ear to the ground on these kind of things, then you'll know it's been a bit of a busy year for politics. I actually ran to be a local councillor in May for the Labour Party. Unfortunately, I didn't win, but it was a very busy few months. And between that and helping with the local social media and parenting and life, it all became a bit much, and I had to put the podcast on the back burner. I then thought I'd have a nice tune to get it going again, but unfortunately Rishi Sunak announced the election, so I've been really busy helping with the local campaign here for the general election where I live. It's the eve before polling day. I'm just about to go out and help with a bit more leafleting, but in a moment of madness, because I recorded this interview back in January with Steph Archer, it just felt like I had to get this podcast episode out before the election or on election day. I don't know whether I'll get it out tonight or whether I'll get it out first thing tomorrow morning, because it just seems so appropriate. Although perhaps it's the opposite, and perhaps you're sick of politics and you're thinking, oh, here's someone else banging on about politics. But it's something I'm really, really passionate about. And Steph has been actually instrumental in my journey into politics, even though I've only met her once. We had a great conversation back in October last year, and she really encouraged me to get involved in this journey, and it's been a really exciting journey for me in all sorts of ways. So, and it's not over yet. So have a listen. I hope you're inspired if you're listening to this tonight or tomorrow to get out and vote, whatever party you vote for. You know, me and Steph talk a little bit about the importance of being engaged in these in political issues. So get out and vote, and I hope you enjoy our conversation, and do let me know if you have any thoughts. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Becky. Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too. How are you doing?
Yeah, really well, thank you. All good.
So just tell us a little bit about yourself, Steph, who you are, you know, how many kids you've got, what you do.
Great. I'm Steph Archer, and I was born in 1985, and I was born in Beverley in Yorkshire.
Oh, you're a Northern lass.
Yes.
Know that.
Yes, although I did leave, we moved to St Albans when I was two. Okay. So I can't claim too much Northernness, I'm afraid, but moved to St Albans when I was two, and that's where I grew up, and had an absolutely fantastic time, made brilliant friends, went to a great church, and became a Christian when I was probably about 12, and then was baptised when I was 16, and really had a fantastic youth group there, and really grew in my faith during that time. And then university was a real time of growth for me spiritually, and also had a really brilliant time studying history at Nottingham University. That was absolutely brilliant. Missed those days.
I love Nottingham as well. That's a cool city.
Great.
Yeah, we lived there for the year after we got married. It's
I loved Nottingham. Absolutely loved it, really good. And during that time I met Matt, who's now my husband. So we were doing a mission trip in Salamanca in Spain with IFES, so the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students, and met there and hit it off straight away, and so started going out, and then got actually spent a year living in Spain, and then we got married when Matt graduated from Liverpool University. And then I did the care internship with Tim Farron in Parliament, which was absolutely brilliant. Loved it, loved the learning, loved the on-the-job work with Tim, and got involved in loads of different things.
Do you want to explain a little bit what the care internship is? Because I've heard of it, but if you're not in a certain group of friends who've done it, people might not know what it's about.
Yes, so the idea with CARE is that Christians are called to live for the good of their community and their nation, that we're called to bless our nation and to seek its thriving. So CARE stands for Christian Action, Research and Education. So an idea of being active in our Christian faith for people's good. Research, so researching the issues that really matter to God, matter to the people of God, matter to the people God's created, and then taking, you know, putting that research into action, whether it's on campaigns, on certain issues. Yeah, and then the education side as well, which as the intern, you're involved in that kind of the education side. So every Friday you get to learn some theology about Christian activism and engagement in politics. But yeah, so CARE is kind of involved, that action and that activism is centred around Parliament and politics. So then CARE run these, it's called Leadership Programme. And so graduates do a year in Parliament or in charities. Also, they've done media as well. So where, yeah, you do the 4 days on your placement and then a day of sort of education and learning.
And it's really like hands-on, isn't it? Like you're literally working for the MP, doing research and all sorts. So
Amazing. Absolutely brilliant year, and would recommend it to anyone. As I say, there's these different streams. So if politics isn't quite your thing, there's a charitable and the media side as well. But really encouraging and just fantastic group of people, mix of backgrounds, and so really flourished that year. And then I spent quite a few years working in Parliament after that for different MPs. And then, should I keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
Keep going. So whistle stop tour. Yeah, so I worked for Michael Moore MP, which was brilliant. So he was Secretary of State for Scotland. So I was working with him through the independence referendum. And then, unfortunately, when the Liberal Democrats lost a lot of seats after the coalition government, Michael lost his seat. But then Sarah Olney won her seat. So I then worked for her, and then I worked for Ed Davey. And then I decided to take a step out of Westminster and got involved in local government. So that's what I'm doing now. I got elected as a local councillor. And I look after children's services in Kingston Borough Council as part of the Lib Dem administration, and I'm the ward councillor in Chessington.
Awesome, thank you. And how many, you're a mum, obviously.
Yes, I'm a mum. Oh, I missed out the children. How can I do this? I'm so sorry. More importantly, through my time in Parliament, so yeah, that time with Michael Moore and Sarah and Ed, I had 3 children. So Joseph's 10, Sylvia's 8, and Annabelle's nearly 6.
Wow. And you were elected as a local councillor with a 4-week baby in arms, weren't you? Is that right?
Yes I was. outdoor knocking, very very pregnant, and then on election day I had my little baby girl with me.
I'm in awe, an absolute awe. I don't think I did anything for the first 12 weeks of motherhood, let alone, I suppose if it's your third, you sort of anyway.
I would say as well, from my experience, I recovered so much more quickly from the third. I wouldn't have been able to do it with the second and first. It's interesting, isn't it? Anyway.
Yeah. you've talked about being in CARE and things like that, but have you always been politically engaged as such?
Yes, well, as I've always had a real heart for is fairness and community and sharing and looking after each other, and particularly I've always been so impacted by Jesus' call for us to love the oppressed, to love the widower, love the orphans, to seek mercy and to seek justice for the oppressed and from a young age, I've always just had a sense of that kind of calling on all Christians to look after the marginalized. And so that so through my sort of teenage years and in university, I was mainly kind of really focused on those kind of issues, and you say issues like homelessness, justice for asylum seekers and refugees. And actually, as I got on through my university time, I got a real sense actually where are the decisions made that can impact how a refugee will experience coming to this country, or how a homeless person will receive housing, or how someone who has lost both their parents will be cared for. It was in politics, actually, that's where the decisions are made on those some of those key issues. So then that's when I applied to do the care internship and go into Parliament to be in that place where those decisions are made to the extent, you know, to what extent are we going to care for people in need? To what extent are we going to welcome the alien and the stranger in our country and care for them and help them flourish and thrive? So that it was more the issues and the kind of concerns for justice and fairness that kind of drew me in. So when I applied for the care internship, I did say, oh, I'm happy to go with a Labour MP or a Lib Dem MP, I'm kind of not party political yet. But I know that I believe in kind of a fair taxation system that shares wealth in this country, and a really strong public sector and public services, just so that everyone in this country can receive the healthcare and the education that they need. But Labour or Lib Dem, I'm kind of happy to go with either. Obviously ended up in the Lib Dem stream. And I'm, you know, glad of that. It's been fantastic.
Awesome. And what made you transfer then from sort of national to local politics then? Because I think people think that in national politics you can have a lot more influence, don't they?
Absolutely. And actually I do think so on the, you know, in Westminster, really exciting. You can get involved in loads of really great campaigns. So I was involved. So me and Michael Moore MP, we passed the private members bill to enshrine in law the 0.7% of GDP spending on international development aid. So
you did me that? And Michael did. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, that's such an amazing law. I'm so sad it's disappeared now.
And that was an amazing time working obviously with NGOs across the piece to bring that into law. Absolutely incredible. And that, yeah, I mean, obviously devastated to see that we've reneged on that commitment as a country, mm-hmm. and hope that in the years to come we'll come back on 0.7. So things like that, and the other campaigns I worked on with Tim and with Ed as well. It's so hard to make a difference in central government. It's so hard. It's been, you know, we've had brilliant moments. Another real highlight was working with survivors of the thalidomide scandal, and working with them to try and basically enable them to receive the compensation they need for that drug being distributed to pregnant women. But that's a campaign that's ongoing. But elements like that, where you get to work with those kind of groups of people and campaign and advocate for them, is such a privilege. But yeah, getting anywhere is so hard. I mean, you've seen that with the post office scandal and these recent weeks. Gosh, you know, it's those MPs who've been working, plugging away, advocating for those sub postmasters. And now, obviously, they're receiving justice. But gosh, that has been a really long road. So Parliament, and then, you know, but you can get like those wonderful moments of like 0.7 and other where you see the achievements. But other campaigns are longer and harder. So I absolutely love national government and work. I love my time in Westminster. But working, going to the local government level, it's been such an amazing experience where you really can make a difference day to day, and actually you're making decisions all the time that are going to affect your residents and constituents. You know, you've got the budget in the council. Are you going to spend it on parks and playgrounds? Are you going to spend it on, you know, improving the highways? Are you going to spend it on, you know, certain, you know, working with young people with high needs, things like that? You know, you're constantly making these decisions, and it's and you really see the, yeah, so the thing that got me involved initially was when I was I moved onto a council house area, and the local playground was an absolute state. So I was still working in Westminster. I was like, this playground's awful. Like, why are my children expected to play in this playground? So I got chatting to our local organizer, and she said, why don't you become a councillor, and why don't you can make these kind of differences you can make. So I ran this campaign. We got the playground sorted. Absolutely brilliant. Now we've got match funding from the London Marathon Trust. And it was just such an inspiring experience, having worked in Westminster, where it's like, oh, you really have to grind on with your campaigns and just keep persevering. On this local level, I was like, well, my goodness, in 6 months, a year, I've been able to make a massive difference in this community where I live. So stood for election, got elected as local councillor, and it's just been an absolutely brilliant experience. So every day I'll be helping someone with their housing issue, helping someone, you know, their child has got special educational needs, helping them, you know, get the placement that they need, working, you know, with people who are struggling, maybe with mental health issues, directing them to the right services. On so many levels, you're working with those day-to-day issues and helping people, and you really, you can see results so quickly. So I really love the local level. It's been a real privilege.
That's really awesome, and you certainly inspired me to get involved. I'm just in the process of looking to get involved with local politics and maybe even sort of being a councillor, and we had a really good chat, didn't we, back in October?
And
you really inspired me with your sort of experience of being able to affect things locally. So thank you. So those are some of the joys of local politics. What are the challenges? I'm sure there's a few.
I mean, as I say, you can make a difference and you can make change and bring forward projects, help sponsor projects through, connecting up a project with lines where they can get grants and money or support. But obviously there are times when there's very, very little you can do. For example, everyone's very fully aware of the housing crisis that we have in this country and the massive waiting lists we have in our on our council house waiting lists. You know, the lists are long, the numbers are long, the families, there's so many, hundreds and thousands of families in this country who are waiting for housing. So those times when actually what's really hard on a local government level is when you can't get someone that house that they really need, you can't help someone in a certain way just because the service isn't there, or the housing provision isn't there. That's really, really hard when the services aren't there for people, just because of the challenges we're facing. You know, as everyone also knows, there's massive funding challenges we have in local government. Unfortunately, we've been kind of at the on the coal face really of the cuts, and as the needs of our residents increase, and complexity of need is increasing as well. It's just very difficult on the kind of the funding piece. So that is a challenge. But it's what I would just say is it's so just to be at the table and to be advocating for the people in your community, the vulnerable. I wouldn't want to be anywhere. Yes, it's a really challenging time. But where do I want to be? Do I want to kind of pull myself away? Or do I want to step further in and just do all that I can to make Kingston the best place to live, to make sure that the most vulnerable are looked after, that our young people are able to flourish? That's where I want to be. And yes, there's challenging decisions, hard decisions that have to be made, but I want to be in there. I want to be just doing all I can.
How do you deal with those decisions? When you're sort of, by putting the budget somewhere else that someone else who you've maybe had an email from or you've met in person could be significantly affected. How do you stay resilient against being overwhelmed by that?
I I think that's you know, when you are making decisions, it's the listening to all different sides. It's the balancing up of need. It's the, also the working out of, okay, you know, we don't want to cut that completely, but maybe we can scale it back, or maybe we can do it in a slightly different way. So yeah, that, I mean, I can wholeheartedly say, like, the most important services that our, you know, residents rely on and need, we are protecting them, and we're making sure that you know, people have the support that, yeah, it is necessary. And it's just it having to do that rebalance, and you know, there's been, you know, painful, difficult moments, but yeah, listening to my colleagues, listening to my residents, and balancing it up, and just, yeah, we have to make hard decisions, and but yeah, just making sure you're taking the time to make the decisions in the best way possible. And then there's a certain peace with that. It's like, we've done everything we can with the resources that we've got. We've listened. Yeah. And then that's kind of how we do it.
And you reminded me of a quote that I often think of by Theodore Roosevelt, that do what you can with what you have where you are. And I always think, like, what you have is, you know, limited resources, limited time. You can't do everything. That's not our plan. It's horrible feeling like that, isn't it? Like, you want to fix things for people. I think often people who go into politics are fixers a little bit, aren't they? They want to change things and fix things. So that's quite hard emotionally to get through. And on that sort of note of, like, juggling and balancing, again, how do you keep a balance with family life? Because I guess you'll have emails coming in all week long. You could probably work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make differences and changes. How do you sort of keep boundaries as such to that all your time isn't taken over by that?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, there's a decision to be made, isn't there, kind of in terms of, like, what I focus on. And it's basically, you know, I just kind of, you know, me and my other ward councillors, we kind of looked at kind of, these are all the, you know, the areas in our community that we'd love to change or help develop. And, like, we'll focus on maybe these three things. And obviously, if other things come up, we'll resolve them as and when. We'll delegate, maybe, you know, one of us will look after, you know, the library, and one of us will look after highway stuff. It's trying to delegate out responsibilities. You've got a team. This is what I'd definitely say, on, you know, in this terms of local government side, you're in a team, you're in a ward team, you're in a group, your party political group team. So it's just making sure that, you know, you're not there to do it all. You're working together, you're focusing, because I think people aren't going to be helped if I'm just, like, absolutely spread really thinly and just can't ever really achieve anything just because I'm trying to do too much. Like, no, just focus. What have people said to me are the most important things for them in their community? Focus on those projects. Just do all I can and try not to get too distracted by, like, other possible needs that might come in that, you know, maybe I can deal with. But once this project's through, then I can look to the next project. But the casework comes in all the time. And I just kind of would take an hour a day just, yeah, to go through emails, you know, making sure I'm, you know, if there's a housing concern or a school's issue or anything like that, just keeping on top of that. It is, most people actually who do this job also work. Whereas I'm a local councillor and portfolio holder, and I have three children, and I don't also have a job. So that is a massive plus. My friends who've done this role in the council had children and had a job. That is really full on. Yeah. I know for some of them, they'd say, well, at the moment, I'm just, like, not on a team at church at the moment, just because almost like my, you know, my mission field or my ministry is actually the stuff I'm doing on council. Because actually, yeah, I think if you're working as well and you've got children, you would end up being so overwhelmed. So, you know, you do kind of have to really manage those responsibilities. And I know, like, churches are so supportive. So if people are thinking about standing, be really mindful of, yeah, what you already committed to. Are there areas where you might need to step back? you just need to be really, you know, you need to look after yourself and you need to be really careful to not burn out, because there's just, that's then no help to anyone and it's not good for your family. So yeah, so passing on maybe old responsibilities when you take on a new one, really important.
I was really conscious of asking that question because I don't think many dads would get asked it, but but it's a reality for many mums, that juggling act, that balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah,
the way that it's not always. I'm saying obviously things are changing. There's a lot of men taking on more responsibilities and you know, sharing parenting in a way maybe our parents' generation wouldn't have done. But yeah, I thought it's good to still get the tips from you on that. And then sort of turning to your faith a little bit, which you've mentioned, you talked about, you know, how some people see it as being on the council, as being on the mission field. How does your faith influence your politics?
Yeah, so I would definitely say that, you know, when Jesus says, you know, what you did for the least of these, when you clothed me, when you gave me something to eat, when you welcomed me in, you know, when we serve people in those times of need, we're doing that, it's like we're doing that for Jesus, or like that is even Jesus himself. So that's, you know, what drove me into politics. And I guess the side, you know, I guess wanting to be involved in a group who have got that kind of heart as well, of kind of like making sure that the poor and the refugee and those who are just down at heel at the moment in this time in their life, they have that support, they have that care. And that call from Jesus really has pushed me on. And, you know, and as I, in this role in Kingston, you know, what drives me, what keeps me going, what I want to see people house, I want to see people flourishing, because I believe that everyone's made in God's image and everyone is loved by God, everyone has gifts. And, you know, God has, you know, created us all for him and for each other. And we have responsibility towards our neighbour to help us all to flourish. It's not just about me getting on really well in my life. It's about, how's my neighbour doing? How's the person opposite me doing? How's the person around the corner doing? And that's what drives me in my politics. You know, that actually I flourish when others flourish. And that's what I want to see. And you're really wanting to, right, who are the people who would, you know, so at the moment in our society, it's certainly the asylum seekers and refugees and young people in care and care leavers, you know, particularly vulnerable groups, who that's part of one of the massive highlights of this role, has been working with young people in care and visiting asylum seekers in hotels, working with refugees, and just saying, like, you're here, you've had a horrendous traumatic experience, we want to love you and care for you and clothe you, and give you what you need to flourish. So that really drives me and keeps me going. And it's been such a privilege to be in this space, to be able to do this work.
That's awesome. And in some ways, you know, you're saying about when everyone flourishes, sorry, hang on a sec, how do you put it? It's not just about you flourishing, it's about everyone flourishing. And when it's almost like when we go into times of hardship, like it feels the country is in a moment, we all close our doors a bit, don't we? Like community can often disappear quite quickly, can't it? And it's just just becomes a bit of almost survival mode on people. And I'm really sad to see that, really. And we've had an issue in Farnborough locally, and I totally get both sides in most ways. Because at the end of the day, the council haven't provided enough social housing, so people feel upset. There, you know, there's families with children with additional needs who are waiting for adequate housing. There's overcrowding, but then the Home Office recently just acquired a load of housing that was meant to be privately rented to move a load of asylum seekers into the area. And it's caused an absolute political stink, partly because there's no public consultation on it. There was no public warning. But the poor asylum seekers has been scapegoated for it when it's really not their fault. They're just seeking what is legally their right to come here and flee danger. But because there's not been the adequate services locally, you know, it's everyone out for themselves, really, and a lot of anger and a lot of hurt. So, yeah, I totally agree. And do you think politics is becoming harder for people of faith to enter or stay in? I mean, for example, Tim Farron, who you used to work for, you know, arguably it was partly his faith that made him have to sort of step away as leader of the Lib Dems.
So I would say, I think people feel like it must be harder, but actually, if you want to get involved, you can, you absolutely can. And there's a space for you as a Christian, to be involved. It is an absolutely brutal place, and you know, you will get hounded. So on a local government level, it's not as brutal. So I definitely encourage people to stand for council, and then you can make the decision. Do I want to be on Twitter or X? Do I want to be on Facebook? Do I want to expose myself to that kind of, you know, social media? You know, that can be very difficult to handle and manage. At local government level, you can kind of decide on that for your own protection and sort of your own health, really. Obviously, when you get to the MP level, it's going to be the extra level of scrutiny, and it will be brutal. And it is brutal for everyone in different ways. As a Christian, I guess there's elements where you will be potentially questioned and challenged. That will be tough. But I think standing as an MP will be tough for everyone in lots of different ways. Maybe, yes, there'll be a particular challenge there as a Christian. But I do think these days, the kind of political landscape and the way campaigning takes place on like a national MP general election level is tough. And so I would really encourage Christians, you can stand. We know there's Christians in Parliament who, you know, are walking with the Lord and seeking him in all they do. You absolutely can do it. It's just, yeah, making sure you've got a good team around you, that good support. And what are you doing to kind of just, you know, maybe someone else does your Twitter account or some, you know, you, yeah, just protecting, because it is a brutal landscape. There's no doubt about it.
I guess there's a hard balance sometimes to practical politics and integrity, would you say? I don't know. Have you faith?
You are, as a Christian, you will be a person of integrity, and you can be, and you carry on being, and you are, you know, the politician, whether it's local level or national level, you can be a person of integrity. You can honour God in the way that you practice your politics, and you decide how that you run your campaign in a way that is godly and honest. And you have to stand your ground on that. That's that you just keep praying for wisdom, keep seeking wise counsel around you, and just, you know, or have people in your life who can ask you those difficult questions and, you know, just keep you accountable.
Absolutely. Thank you. And we've talked about the influence of faith on your politics. What about motherhood? Do you feel like that's impacted your politics at all?
It absolutely has. I mean, when I was doing that work with the playground, and then other playgrounds following it, I always said to the children, I'm doing this for you and your little friends and all your classmates. You know, this is for you guys. And it's so important that there's, you know, we have diversity in our politics. So you have mums, dads, single people, older people, people from different backgrounds, people who've been born in different countries, just, you know, people who've come here as immigrants. Just having that diversity means that we will just get, we'll serve our communities really, really well. Because someone who's come here from another country well, no, like, yeah, this is a really important need over here. Or have you thought about this group of people or how they'll experience this? And then as a mother, I say, what about the children? Like, how will they, what will they be doing in this green space? Or you know, what are they going to be doing in the evenings? Or, you know, how's our local community centre serving them? And, you know, just bring, having a diverse group of people on your council and in parliament is just so important, because you can't, your personal experience will have such an impact on the decisions that you make in parliament or on your local council. So yeah, that diversity is really important. And definitely, yeah, being a mum, you know, what is our borough going to look like for the next generation? Yeah, we need to hand on something that is really, they'll love and they'll enjoy. So that's, yeah, I mean, my children are kind of almost like the main reason why I do it.
That's awesome. There's a lot of what I want to do. You know, the reason why I'm getting into politics as well is that I want to teach the children, model to the children in some ways, that life isn't all about them, that there's lots of people and that community is really important. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and politics is important too, and it's good to be politically active as much as possible. Do you think that as Christian mums, we need to be better at being more engaged with politics?
I would say being involved in what's going on in your local community, so, and actually doing stuff, or being a positive influence, or if you see an issue, how can you step in and get involved, or how can you talk about that in your family and introduce your family to kind of these issues that we've kind of touched upon. Yeah, really important to move from like speech to action, I think, as well. So whether or not you feel like politically engaged, maybe take the P word out and say, well, how's my community doing? What's in my local area? And, you know, how can I bless my community with my children? So, you know, just even little things like, you know, we've done gardening projects, we've done beetle loggeries, and we've done hedgehog projects. Just like, yeah, bringing your children involved. It's just such a great thing to be, as you say, looking beyond yourself and your own, like, I go to school, I do clubs, and then I see my friends. What's beyond that? Well, it's the environment. It's the person who sits on your parade of shops who's got nowhere to live. It's the new family that's moved in from the Ukraine, around the, you know, looking beyond yourself and seeing those kind of the new people, or the people who might really appreciate you, just checking in with them and chatting to them, getting to know them. So don't, maybe if you're, the lovely thing about local government and politics is that it is local. So it's, what are the local issues? What's ticking on in your community? And how can you get involved? So even just what, you know, saying about, lots of asylum seekers have moved into the area, into private rental accommodation, out of hotels. Okay, so local people, that's frustrating because if they haven't got anywhere to live. Okay, but there's loads of new people now in your community who've got to this country probably on a terrifying journey. They've probably lived in a hotel for ages and not been able to cook and look after their children properly because of that situation. Can we go and visit them, and can we speak to our local ward council and say, can we like maybe do like a meal rota, or can we let, oh, our church's got like a mums and, or yeah, a parents and toddler group. Can we let the asylum seekers know that that's there and invite them along? Actually just like engaging with people in our community. So I don't, it's not even necessarily like getting involved in politics, is it? It's just getting involved in your community. But in a positive way, that's not simply the speech, but it's the action as well. And then you'll find as you get more involved, you'll get less frustrated, you know, and yeah, just on other things, you know, if you're frustrated with like the parking issues and the potholes and, you know, actually just, okay, I'm frustrated. Now what am I going to do? Okay, I can contact my ward councillor. I can get involved. I can also say to my ward councillor, how are you doing? You know, anyways, I can support you. Do you want to join their team? Do you want to kind of help out? Just getting involved. So you've gone from kind of like annoying things that are going on locally, but once you start getting involved, you feel very empowered and you feel less negative, and you feel like actually positive. Oh, look, we can sort this out, or we can engage in this issue and make a difference. And all these politicians, in inverted commas, are actually great people, and they're just trying to do their best. And you know, we always it's lovely when people get in touch with us and say like, thank you, or can you help me with this, and or thanks for sorting that out. And just it is certainly and in national level as well, it is a partnership with your residents always, and we always want to be doing stuff together and supporting each other. So get involved in that way, and maybe don't worry too much about the politics, but the community bit instead.
Yeah. if people are like interested in the politics side though, they can email councillors, petitions,
So just back to the, you know, the terrible playground where I lived. Startups, it was, you know, obviously I contacted my ward councillors at the time, but it's also okay, the ward councillors, they can only do so much. Why don't I put a petition together, go out door knocking, get everyone to sign it, get the schools to sign letters of support for investment in the playground, get a local charity who uses the playground. You know, actually, because it can be tempting to think, oh, I need to get other people to do it. But it's actually and I think that's back to your Teddy Roosevelt quote, what's my sphere of influence? What am I able to do? Let's crack on and do it. I think that's it. Yeah, certainly contact your ward councillors, but also think, is this an issue that I can start taking some action on and making a difference on as well?
Yeah, that's really positive. And you brought to mind, like, how do you work well cross-party? Because I think there's a lot of tribalism that I see in politics at the moment. And I sit left of centre in politics. My husband definitely sits on the Tory side and has worked for a Tory MP. He went to that school beginning with E, which lots of people don't like these days. And, you know, I get quite upset when people sort of tar him with a brush of, you know, he's Tory scum. You know, I've heard that phrase, and he's taken a lot of stick on social media before when, like, for me, in fact, we went on radio together with Premier Radio once about this, about being a lefty married to a righty. you know, I think my take on it is that often we have a lot of the same goals. We want people to have flourishing lives, but we just have very different ideas about how we should get there. Not always, but that's the way that I sort of go about it. I know there's some politicians who maybe don't have good goals in mind, but that's the way I try to think the best about people and their ultimate goals, and seek to persuade them that maybe the way that I want to do it is a better way and a more compassionate way.
I would absolutely agree. I mean, the majority of people who've stood for election, they want to serve their communities, serve their constituencies, whether they're Labour, Conservative, Lib Dem, Green. And when people resort to these terrible words like scum, it is just no way to talk about anybody. You need to listen and understand, and I absolutely agree, working cross-party, disagree agreeably, which is a classic phrase, and never resort to these kind of tarring or brushstrokes. You know, you noticed that in your questions as well, the whole idea of like, of all politicians are the same, is just, you know, that is just an absolute nonsense in itself, isn't it? It's like, you can't have 650 MPs in Parliament who are all the same. Like, of course they're not. They're all completely unique, driven by different values and different ideologies. Like, they're all totally different. Every politician is different. And it's a tough job. And get to know your MP and understand that people are doing things, you know, majority are doing it because they want to make a difference. people have got different opinions as to how they can do that. I think what we've struggled with over the recent years is when we've seen, so particularly with the Brexit referendum, where actually we got to the point where we're like, we do just think certain elements in one side of the campaign who are lying. And obviously we've seen further evidence of certain people lying and deceiving. And that is actually something that has been really shocking, because which actually highlights to you that actually, for the most part, we have been very blessed in this country where truth has generally been revered. And in campaigns, if you did ever lie about someone or something, you'd be really pulled up. And, you know, there's obviously the Electoral Commission who pull you up on lies, you know. So in my leaflets, you know, you'd be really careful with your statistics and your data. Be really careful with what you're saying, because you'd never want to say anything that's not true. But obviously we've had a very difficult few years where actually you do feel there's been, people have been misled. There's been a culture of people in very powerful positions actually misleading. And that has been a real challenge. I think the country is really reeling from that. And the trust has really been broken. Obviously, the majority of MPs and councillors who are still working in their positions are people of integrity who wouldn't resort to lying. But obviously, we're all reeling from this the situation that we found ourselves in, and then the, you know, the lack of the way that trust has been damaged.
Yeah, and I think it's led to a lot of voter apathy, hasn't it? Which, on that note, I thought we would, because I'm really passionate about getting people to vote. Like, I think it's a way of us holding account, you know, politicians accountable, of getting our voice heard. From a feminist perspective, I'm like, yeah, votes for women. You know, people fought for this for us, and not just, you know, it wasn't just votes for women. It was votes for people who had a certain income threshold, you know, below a certain income threshold as well. You know, I think we sometimes forget that, that a lot of people couldn't vote just because they didn't earn enough in the past, or weren't old enough. So I thought we'd do a bit of myth busting. And you've targeted one of them already. So I thought we could address three reasons why people might not vote in the next election and why you should. So you've done that these politicians are all the same, and what does it matter who I vote for? So the second one is, the same party always gets in my ward, borough, constituency, so why should I bother?
Or does it? I remember someone saying to me about St Albans, oh, it's been conservative ever since records began. It's like, no. It like, two elections ago, it was Labour or whatever. You know, obviously now it's Lib Dem, which is brilliant. But and we've seen, like, massive majorities being overturned. We've seen, you know, we know people who've got like teeny weeny majorities of 60, and you know, things change, times change, the constituencies sometimes can and do change. And even, as I said recently, like, you know, constituencies that have been a certain party for a long time have now switched. So actually, I'll just say, just still get out and vote, like, just, and get out on those doors. Like, if you, because it's not only that the suffragettes who suffered horrendous torture to get us the vote, but people around the world would give their eye teeth to live in a country where there's free and fair elections. I think we just forget, and we lose perspective on the privileged position we are in this country. And to not bother to go out and vote is saying to those people, all your suffering to fight for democracy, you know, it's kind of throwing it in their face. And like, we are so fortunate, you know, and just find out about your candidate, you know, meet up with them, go out on the doors with them, go to hustings, just connect up with your MP, or the candidate. It's also tough, like, just be there, be out there, be supporting them, because they are standing up for like the democratic process and seeking election, which is an admirable thing to do. I make time for it as well. Make time for it. And I guess, yeah, I would also say, you know, if you're really struggling with kind of like the national politics, the party political side of things, look at the person, get to know your candidates, get to know them as people, and almost maybe just park all the national politics, and just because that's the thing in this country as well, we do vote for our constituency MP. We don't vote for the prime minister. You vote for the person that's going to represent your little area, find out who they are. They'll be a person just like you with issues just like you. So once you get to know them, you kind of break down some of those barriers. And yeah, you know, that just can be really, really positive.
That's really good advice. Thank you. And what about people who say, I don't understand enough about politics to vote?
I would just say, get looking into it, get understanding it. You know, you can see those big issues that are coming up, you know, particularly on like the refugee asylum seeker stuff, on like what's the future of public services. You know enough that you know you've got your GP that you can get an appointment to, hopefully. You don't have to pay when you get there. If you get some kind of terrible illness, you can go to the NHS and you'll get treated. Okay, that is important to you in your life, yeah? And that exists because of politics over the decades have built that public service. You understand that, and the politics is about how do we fund it, in what way do we fund it. That can be complicated, but actually just doing a bit of reading, like, do you want the NHS to exist in 10 years time? Yes. Okay, what are the different parties saying about how they're going to make sure this happens? I just like, do I want my children to have teachers at school to teach them? Yes. Who makes sure that happens? Politicians, because they decide how the taxation is spent and how and if enough is raised to fund these public services. So, yeah, I would say these are things that we all care about. Politics will ensure or not ensure the future of these services we hold dear. So I do think we've all got responsibility to start learning and finding out, you know, and actually you might get to the conclusion, okay, like I feel like I do want to pay some more tax actually, because I really do want these services to continue for my children. So actually, therefore, I'm probably going to vote for a party that might suggest that. And, you know, so then you want to do your research and say, like, well, how are the Conservatives, Labour, Lib Dems, Greens, how are they saying they're going to secure these things that I care about and I feel like my community will care about and will benefit from? And then that's kind of the way that, so I do feel like, yeah, we would all benefit if we all engaged more and all, yeah, realize how it is so important. And so, politics is better and government is better if the more people that are engaged.
Totally agree. And we're so lucky now, aren't we, that we have so many resources to make that easier. Like if you're not someone who reads, there's so many news podcasts and political podcasts which can break that down into bite-sized chunks. I mean, I listen to The Rest Is Politics with Rory Stewart and Alistair Campbell. I quite like that. And that just gives you a really good breadth of both international and national politics. Mm-hmm. But then I also like both the news agents and newscast, which both slightly different political biases, maybe. Mm. So you're not sort of just getting one side of the story all the time.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Yeah. Yeah. I almost feel like now that isn't an excuse to not know, because it's so accessible, isn't it, now? And
I'll share some of those political podcasts.
Yeah,
and actually Tim Farron does, which is how I kind of found you, does a Mucky Business, doesn't he? And you were on that. And he's got all sorts of people from so many different backgrounds on there, hasn't he?
Totally. That's the thing. So I'd 100% recommend Mucky Business, Tim's podcast. It's so encouraging. Yeah, because it's Christians from so many different political walks of life and persuasions. And really great to hear different perspectives on that. I encourage all your listeners to check that out.
and you know, I mean, sorry, just to mention a few more, you can tell I like podcasts. There's one called The Hopeful Activists, which is really good on sort of more the activism side of politics. And they include some counsellors and things like that, as well as people working in charities. And then Seen and Unseen, which I think... Justin Briley, but I think it's something to do with Graham Tomlin as well.
Yeah,
I've not come across GodPod.
Yes, that is Graham Tomlin.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. It's very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, he's been seen and unseen as well. And he had Rory Stewart and Jonathan Aitken on there the other day,
which
was brilliant. That was such a powerful interview. There was this amazing moment where Jonathan Aitken said, "You're a prison minister, and I was a prisoner, and let's talk prisons." And I thought it was such a powerful conversation. Yeah. Well, we're nearly done, Steph, but we're asking two questions of every guest at the moment, just very quick fire questions. So the first one is, knowing what you know now, what piece of advice would you give to yourself the first day you held your first child?
I would say, be filled with absolute joy for this baby. Know that the Lord has the baby and you in his hands. He's got plans for you and you don't need to panic. And just take each day. And another thing I would say is that through the trials that you will experience and the baby and your child will go through, don't forget that those trials can be used to shape your character and their character and build perseverance and hope in them. Because actually, as a parent, we don't actually want our children, do we, just to have it plain sailing the whole time? And actually, some of those more difficult times, as a parent, sometimes you think, I just wish it could all go away. Just remember what the Lord says when, like, in those times of trial, perseverance and hope are developed and grown in your character and their character. And actually, we want our children to grow in, to know Jesus and become like him. So keeping that in mind when you go through those really hard and dark times, just clinging to God and trusting in his work in your life and in your child's life. On a lighter note, I would say they don't need loads of plastic toys. One of my regrets as a mother is the amount that I bought them and thought they needed. And actually, they don't need all of that stuff.
Unless
Party bags should be banned forever. Yeah. And I think plastic toys, just think twice.
I'm that annoying eco mum who like buys books instead of party bags. And
yeah.
The kids are like, I want some plastic tat and some bag of sweets.
Yeah. No, it makes me, oh, no.
Oh, dear. And then the second question is, if you could pray something over every mum listening, what would your prayer be?
Yeah, I'd go back to that prayer of like, that your hope would be in Jesus, and that you would fix your eyes on not what is seen, which is temporary, but what's unseen and eternal, that you would fix your eyes on Jesus, and that you would store up those treasures in heaven, and just keep that perspective, and just feel that real freedom in who God has created you to be, and that he loves you and loves your children, and he will seek your flourishing, but sometimes in ways that you don't always expect.
That's beautiful. Thanks, Steph. Before we end the podcast, can I pray for you? Is that all right?
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for Steph and the work that she's done for you. We thank you that she heard your calling and followed it into both national and local politics. And we pray for her, for your wisdom, for your peace, for your energy, as she continues to work in this area. And we pray as well for other politicians in our local areas, nationally, internationally. May we be kind and compassionate and not quick to judge or be sharp with our tongues about them, Lord, and seek to know them better, seek to see what's behind what they're saying or what they're doing, and turn our annoyance sometimes into more positive action. Give us bit of fire in our bellies to go and do something about it ourselves, rather than always trying to pass it on to our local representatives. And I pray for anyone listening as well that you give them the fire in the belly to get engaged in politics, whether it's with a capital P or a small P, in their community, that they seek out what needs are in their community and be salt and light into those situations, yeah. Lord. And just encourage us all to vote, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks so much, Steph.
Absolute pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
Remember, all the links that we've talked about today can be found on our show notes. If you've enjoyed the podcast today, please do remember to hit subscribe if you haven't done already. And even better, you can help us reach a wider audience by giving a quick review on whichever platform you're listening on. See you next time.